See, I know for a fact that sometime in this last week, you were bombarded with all kinds of other things that were spoken about you. Maybe it was the customer that you could not satisfy. And you walked away feeling like a failure. Or maybe you were that customer and you walked away feeling like you'd been handled unfairly. And so you carried this label of injustice over yourself all week. Maybe you had a conflict with somebody and of course they think you're wrong. Of course, you know they're wrong. Maybe you were watching TV and you saw some completely unrealistic portrayal of life. And you know it's not real. It's just all these people on TV acting out a script, and yet it planted seeds of doubt or discontent in you. Or maybe you saw something on the web or advertisements that they gave like an equally unrealistic definition of beauty, and you just felt so small and so not that. Or maybe you felt like you are that, but you saw that, and so you're just, I got to keep up, I got to keep up, I got to get more, I got to be more this, or I got to be that. Or maybe it was that angry guy that pulled in front of you and held up his hand. I mean, he wasn't telling you you were number one. You are surrounded and bombarded every single week with all sorts of lies about who you are. And I'm just wondering, was this the only time that you got reminded of who you actually are in Christ? You know, Galatians 5:16, our theme verse for this series, says, walk in the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. And it's just given a contrast to us. Paul, the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm either going to find the fulfillment for my longings and my desires in the Spirit, or I'm going to find them in something else, whatever best way I can come up with. I'm either going to follow him or I'm going to not follow him. I'm either going to believe that what he says about me is true, or I'm going to believe whatever combination of the world's circumstances and events and my performance and my failures, what those things tell me is true about me. I'm either going to walk in true identity, my true identity in Jesus, or I'm going to walk in false identity. That's part of walking in the Spirit. And it matters. It matters a lot. I had a dad come to me several years back, and he was kind of at his wit's end with his teenage son. And his son, they knew his son had been drinking. Their son had been drinking, but then they'd found marijuana in his room. And he said, man, I just don't know what to do. And I said, well, I was just kind of taking a basic approach. I said, well, what are the consequences for something like that in your home? How do you respond to that? What is discipline? I'm not saying, you know, it's got to be something big and heavy, but I was just asking, what does discipline look like in your home when something like that occurs? And the guy said, oh, how can I discipline him? I mean, honestly, I did those exact same things when I was a kid, when I was his age. And I said, well, were they a blessing to you when you did them? I mean, he hadn't been involved in marijuana, but was the drinking, was that a blessing to your life? And he was like, oh no. I mean, in fact, I did things when I was drunk that I still regret to this day, he told me. And I said, bro, you are walking in a false identity. You're still carrying guilt for what you did in those decisions that you made. And I said, aren't you a Christian? Aren't you a follower of Jesus? He was like, of course I am. I said, well, then you need to believe what Jesus said about you is true. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation. The old is gone and the new life has come. That's who you are. You're not that drunk teenager who made those bad decisions that you still regret. That's the old you, the old patterns, but now you are this new person. You don't have to walk in your own moral authority as if you had to do it perfect. You need to stand in the authority of Jesus because he's told you what's right. He's told you what's true. He's pointing to the path of life, and you got to love your son enough to walk him down that path. It's not your own performance that qualifies you. It's what Jesus' performance that qualifies you. I had a woman come to me and she said, Kirk, you always talk, it was after a service one Sunday, and she said, you always talk so much about how God's heart is like a father or like that of a father. And I said, yeah. And she said, well, every time you do, I just feel this overwhelming sense of shame and not being good enough. And I was like, I mean, that's like totally opposite of what I was trying to convey. And I said, do you know why you feel that shame? And she said, my dad, he was just an angry man. And I always felt like he preferred my sisters over me. And she said, I always struggled with my weight. And I remember more than once my dad saying, no man is ever going to want you. And so when you talk about God being a father, that's what I feel. And I said, oh, sweet friend, you're walking in a false identity. Because 1 John 3:1, Jesus says, oh, how much the Father loves you that he calls you his own child, and that's exactly what you are. And he pours out love upon you, and he will never forsake you and never abandon you. And Hebrews 4:16 says, whenever you need him, you just come to him and he will give you grace in your time of need. He says, Ephesians 3:12, he says, in Christ and through faith in Christ, you can run to him in freedom and confidence. That's the Father's heart. You need to put aside, don't project who your daddy was. Don't project that on God. That is gone. God is redefining father for you, and he's redefining child for you. That's your true identity. But if we walk in false identity, we cannot walk in the Spirit. We can't take hold of the power and the victory that God has for us if we're believing a false identity, if we're embracing all the lies, all the things that come in from how that roller coaster of life where the world says, oh, you did great. Oh, you did poor. You did good. You did horribly. You know, we ride that roller coaster. Paul says this right after Galatians 5:16. He says in verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I was watching a movie sometime back. I don't remember what it was. But Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, was in it. Like if you had to pick like one, like if you couldn't be yourself and you had to be someone else, Debbie's like going, uh-huh. Thanks, honey. I'd be The Rock. Let me tell you, Sunday would be different. I'm just telling you. I'd be like swinging in, woo! So anyway, so I was watching this movie, back to the sermon. I was watching this movie. It was about an earthquake, probably California. The Rock, Dwayne has lost his daughter in the earthquake. And somehow he's in a helicopter. He's gotten a helicopter and he knows his, I don't know how it all happened, but he knows his daughter is in this big office building that is swaying and going to crumble. So he flies through all this crazy, you know, buildings falling, and he lands this helicopter amidst this rubble. He climbs up this cable, this rebar that's hanging out from the broken, crumbled building around. He lifts this huge concrete. I know it's hard to imagine. Okay. He lifts this huge piece of concrete off, and he smashes through this wall, and there's his daughter with her friends cowering under a table. And he says, come on, follow me. And you know what they do? They follow him. I mean, after all, he got a helicopter. He climbed the cable. He turned over the concrete. He burst through the wall. Of course you're going to follow him. And that's what Paul is saying. A little differently. But that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Since God loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross to take away our sin so that we could no longer have any guilt before God and we could come into relationship with him and live the life he always dreamed for us to live, full of power and full of victory. I got to catch my breath. Let's keep in step with him. I mean, if we're going to follow the rock, we ought to follow Jesus, the original rock. Yeah. That's what Paul's talking about. Since he's done all of this, let's keep in step with him. You know, last week I defined walking in the Spirit, and I want to define it a different way today. One, here's the key point. To walk in the Spirit, I must believe that what Jesus says about me is true. I can't walk in the Spirit if Jesus says, you're unstained, and I think I'm stained. I can't walk in the Spirit if he says, hey, Kirk, your past is your past, and yet I'm living as if my past is my present and my future. You know what I'm talking about? If he says, I can redeem those bad decisions that you made and those tragedies and heartaches in your life, I can redeem them and I can use them for my benefit. And what our enemy meant for evil, I'm going to turn into influence for good for my kingdom. If he says that, I can't embrace that if I'm still believing that I'm who my physical daddy told me I was. I gotta embrace, I gotta believe that what Jesus said about me is true. I was gonna hide her name, but she told me I could tell this. My daughter Ellie was like painfully shy when she was a little girl. I mean, like really shy. Kind of a, not like just, oh, well, she's an introvert, so she's shy, but it was like a fear thing. And so we just kept loving her and encouraging her to step out or try this, but she was super shy. Well, her senior year in high school, this fast forwarding about, you know, whatever, 8, 9, 10 years, she was voted like in the senior superlatives most outgoing girl. And I remember when she came home and she told us that, I was like, I wanted to check to make sure they said the right girl's name. And I said, Ellie, do you remember what you were like when you were a little girl? And she was like, oh, yeah, I was so shy and I was so afraid to whatever that would, you know, to step out in much of any kind of way. And I said, well, I just got to ask, what changed? And I'm not kidding you. She said, I finally decided to believe that what Jesus said about me is true. And I was like, wow. This is before I even came up with this sermon. It wasn't me. She just began to believe that she was a dearly loved child of God. She came to believe that she was fearfully and wonderfully made, whatever all of that means. She began to believe that God had a purpose for her life, not just like all 8 billion of us people, but he had, like, he knew her, and he didn't just love her, because of course God's supposed to love everybody, that he actually liked her. He enjoyed her. Like if he was going to go do something, if Jesus was going to go do something, he could only bring one person. Ellie felt like he would invite her, that she was special like that. And when she began to believe that what Jesus said about her was true, well, then all those things like love became easier for her. Patience became easier for her. Joy. Anybody who knows that girl, that young woman, would say, that girl's got joy. The joy of Jesus is her strength. Because she embraced the true identity. And that's what we've got to do. We can't walk in the Spirit unless we believe that what Jesus says about us is true. And here's the second key point, and it's awesome. Jesus wants to, scratch that, Jesus loves to remind me who I am. He loves to remind me what he thinks of me. I mean, all three of my girls, one in D.C. and two in Waco right now, all going to school. And I love to text them during the week just things that say, hey, sweet girl, I'm so proud of you. Or, hey, sweet girl, I think you're awesome. Or, you know, just whatever those dad kind of things are. I love to do it because I want those girls. I want those girls to walk in power. I want those girls to walk in boldness. I want them to be leaders. I want them to be world changers. And that doesn't mean that they become the president of the United States, though one might. It doesn't mean that they speak to thousands, though one might. What it means is that they walk in the confidence of knowing they're dearly loved and that I have their back. I'm going to do as much as I'm able. I want them to know that I've got their back, and more importantly, that Jesus is with them and leading them and has their back. And Jesus loves to do that same thing to you and me. If you don't believe me, John 14:26, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. He's telling you, hey, I love to do this. I want to remind you. Because you know what? You forget. Hey, I did this thing at camp when I was a teenager. They had a bucket full of water, big old bucket over here, and they had a smaller bucket down here. It was a relay race, and you could only use your hands, and you had to scoop up the water, and you had to run it, and you had to dump it in the bucket, and you had to go back and scoop it up. And when you scooped it up like this, your hands were full of water, right? But by the time you got over here, there was like nothing. Because in the process, all that water, or a lot of it, leaked out. And so you just had to keep going back and forth. Our sense of our identity in Jesus, it leaks out as we go through life. It's sort of drawn out, sucked out. Holes are kind of poked in our hands. And the water leaks out as we encounter those things I described, like conflict or failure or the anger of other people or the unfairness of other people or the ideals of the world that say you should be this. And you're like, oh, I barely have time to do this. How can I be that? And so Jesus says, Holy Spirit's going to remind you. If he says he's going to remind us, what must be true about us? We need to be reminded. In fact, that's a good way to read the Bible. When you read something in the Bible and it says what God is going to do or does do, you can understand. I mean, that tells you something about him, right? Oh, he's going to do this. But it also tells you something about you. Oh, I must need this because that's what he does. And he loves to remind us because we need to be reminded. And you know how one of the ways he most frequently reminds us? 2 Timothy 3:16. This is how the Spirit does it. All scripture is God-breathed. You know what God-breathed means? You know, that's English, right? But if you get into the Greek, you know, the original language in which this was written, it means coming from the Spirit. So all scripture is coming from the Spirit, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. If you want to be right with God, the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, I want you to be right with God. I'm going to help you stay in that. And one of the key ways I'm going to do it is by reminding you. I know this, I don't have the words for this. And so in a moment, we're going to let Jesus actually speak it to you. But he really actually thinks you're awesome. Isn't that crazy? You don't think that. I bet nobody told you that this week. But Jesus wants to remind you of his great love for you and how safe you are. Every friendship. I'll back up a second. To be reminded, for us to put ourselves in a place where he can remind us, which is our part of keeping in step with him, we got to put ourselves in a place where he can remind us. And he may remind you, he loves to remind you through a song you hear on K-Love or whatever. He may remind you through a podcast you hear. There are actually other people I've heard that are good preachers. I didn't believe it for a while, but I've heard that. He may remind you through a friend, but you know the way he loves to remind you by speaking it with his spiritual voice straight to your spirit in a way that it bubbles up into your mind. He loves for you and me to be able to discern his spiritual voice. I talk about this a lot because it's like a friendship. In fact, Jesus said, I call you friends. And I was watching the football game yesterday with a friend. And when I went over there, I didn't sit around thinking, what are we going to talk about? I wonder what he's thinking. What should I say? Or he's probably thinking this. No, that's weird, right? We just went watching the game. And because we're friends, I knew that he would introduce some thoughts or issues or ideas or whatever was on his mind. And I would do the same. And as he did, I'd respond to what he said. And as I did, he'd respond to what I said. It's just normal. That's what makes friendship. It's the ease of communication, I think, that defines our best friendships, probably. And Jesus says, I call you my friends. So he wants you and me to have an ease of communication with him. Now, I grew up studying the Bible and memorizing the Bible and had a sweet childhood where that was a part of it. But normally when I studied the Bible, I would be looking for the main point, which is a great way to study the Bible. What's the main point? What's the author? What's the writer trying to say here? And then I would try to come up with whatever I thought my Sunday school teacher probably would have said to me that this thing was all about and made some sort of application. But it was all within the context of my intellect. And there's something more. There's something more. Jesus has invited us into a spiritual relationship with him. And the Holy Spirit utilizes the Word of God. He doesn't just say, well, there's the Word of God, read it. No, he utilizes. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Spirit is described as a warrior. This is Zephaniah 3:17 and Ephesians 6. The Holy Spirit is described as a warrior who uses the Word like a sword to cut off the lies of false identity. I mean, isn't that a good thing? It's like, you know, when I was in college, I took this neuroscience class. Why? I have no idea. It was the hardest class we had. But I had this guy, this friend of mine. He was a senior. I was a freshman. He was super smart. We were friends, went on to med school and all this kind of stuff. And if I had to study by myself, I did horribly. But when I studied with him, I did great. And that's kind of what the Holy Spirit's offering you. He's saying, let me wield my sword in your life to cut off the lies of false identity and remind you of your true identity. Now, the first time I was ever presented with the idea that the Holy Spirit would speak to me or that I could discern his spiritual voice, I was like, oh, wait a second. That, because I was thinking about all the people that do crazy things in the name of God. Like the Holy Spirit told me this, and then they went out and killed somebody, or that God said to do this, and I drove my car off the side of the road or something. I was like, that's a little, I'd rather would just go with what that thing says right there. But the Holy Spirit wants more than that. And what he does is when we study the Word of God, if we wait and reflect, we can trust, because Jesus said the Holy Spirit would remind us, we can trust the Holy Spirit to guide and direct our thoughts to the thought that he has for us. We can even trust him to, like in a friendship, bring to the table thoughts that he wants us to understand about what's true about God and what's true about us. And when he does this, there's some ways that you can use, Romans 12:2 says, that there's some things you can do to discern and test and to prove that this is God's will, because that's really important. I want to put four things on the screen, or one thing at a time, about how we know how the Holy Spirit speaks. Go to that next screen for me. When the Holy Spirit speaks, and this is worth taking a picture of or writing down, he always speaks consistent with Scripture. The Scripture is the sword of the Spirit. So he's going to, they work in concert together. So when I feel like I'm sensing something that's the Lord's direction in my life, I'm going to go straight to Scripture. Does this match up with what Scripture says? If so, that's good. Second thing is the Holy Spirit always speaks in consistent with God's character. Psalm 103 says that the Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger and he's abounding in love. So if what is entering into my mind, if what I'm feeling like I'm getting from God or what is bubbling up from the Spirit into my mind sounds like anger or frustration, I know that that's not God because he's just told me that he's slow to anger. He's rich in kindness and abounding in love. So if the Holy Spirit is actually speaking, he's going to speak in consistent with the character of God, the character of Jesus. Third thing is that the Holy Spirit will always, always speak positively, never condemning. I've said this to you a number of times over these last several series because this is so important. And if we don't get it, we fall into false identity. But if we do get it, then we put ourselves in a position where God himself can speak to us. We can discern his spiritual voice and we can walk in true identity. But he never speaks condemnation, even when he's convicting us and wanting us to change direction. He says in the book of Romans that he uses kindness to change our minds, kindness to lead us to repentance. Who does that? God does. So that's what I can expect from it. And then the fourth thing is, whatever he speaks can always be confirmed by the people of God, through his people. This is one of the reasons, and I'm going to talk about this more next week, why walking in community, like in a life group, is so significant and so important. Because I can take what I hear from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God, compare it with the people of God, I mean, with the Word of God. Now I'm getting all messed up. I can take what I hear from the Spirit of God, measure it against the Word of God. But the third safeguard that God's given us is each other. Others who trust in him, who follow him, who walk in the Spirit. And I can say, Sherman, this is what I think I heard from God. Or Sean who's and Huve, who are in my life group. I can say, guys, you know, as we were waiting on the Lord, this is what I got. And they can affirm that, or they can say, hey, Kirk, maybe that's not exactly where God's going. But I use the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the people of God, and you and I can discern the voice of the Spirit through this. So here's what I want to do. Like any friendship, interaction breeds intimacy. Friends like Brian Hannison are friends, and I've been friends with Brian since 10th grade probably. And so there's an intimacy, a closeness, a shared set of history and experiences and memories that I've got that I don't have with a whole lot of other people, you know, in San Antonio. The more you give Jesus room, the Holy Spirit room to speak to you, the deeper your relationship and the more readily you're going to recognize, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. So here's what I want to do. I want to ask the ushers to hand out a listening card. It's just exactly what we did last week, along with a pencil. So everybody needs a card. And if you need something to write with, then hold up your hand. And what we're going to do is nothing that you're going to show to anybody else unless you want to. In fact, I might even ask someone if they'd be willing to share what they hear from the Lord. You don't have to. I just may give you that opportunity. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. Daniel's going to come up and he's going to give us a little music so we don't have to hear the hot rods going by. And I want you to do this. I want you to write your name on that listening card, just like I've written my name on this one. Because we're going to let the Holy Spirit complete that sentence for us. Well, we're going to do something else beforehand. But we're going to ultimately let him write or let him speak to us about what he wants us to know that's true about us. But first, I'm going to put a scripture, Ephesians chapter 1 on the screen, verse 3. And it says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Don't go forward yet. He's just said, if you're a follower of Jesus, he's blessed you in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing that there is in Christ. Everything that Christ has to offer, he's like, "I'm giving it to you. You have it. You have access to it." We need a pencil over here. And then he goes on to list some of those spiritual blessings. Now put the blessings up. It's just Ephesians 3, 1 through 7. But I bulleted them so you'd be able to see. And here's what I want you to do. On the back of that card, after we're going to read this, I want you to read it 2 times through. And then I want you to write down 3 things that are true about God based upon this. Just on the back, just something that's true. He's blessed us. Boom, I gave you one, right? Then I want you to write down 3 things that are true about you in Christ. What does he say is true about you? Okay? So let me pray first, and we're going to submit our minds. You do this with me. What I'm doing with you, I'm having my quiet time with you. This is one of the things I do. And I'll say, "Jesus, you said the Holy Spirit was our teacher. So Holy Spirit, would you teach us? Sermon's over. Would you now just teach us yourself as we read this passage? We ask for this in Jesus' name." Now read it twice through and then write 3 things that are true about God, 3 things that are true about you on the back side of that card. So this is true about all who are in Christ, okay? But now I want you to turn your card over It's okay if you didn't get three on each. And I want you to ask God, what is true about me? What out of this do you want to make real to me? And then with that place where it has your name, and I want you to know, I simply want you, we've submitted our minds to the Holy Spirit. We've plowed up our minds with the Word of God. And now we're going to listen to the Spirit of God. And I want you to just let him complete that sentence. Don't worry so much about what you write or the spelling. We can always go back and test it against the Word of God. But let's do that right now. Jesus, Holy Spirit, would you tell us what is true about us? What is it you want me to know? Ask you this. Okay, this may be a little crazy, okay? I haven't seen somebody do this in church before. But in a second, I'm going to read you what I heard. I wonder, is there someone else, maybe someone that's been part of Crossbridge for a while, maybe one of our leaders, that might be willing, if I brought a mic down, might even be willing to read what they heard. The only reason I want to do this is because I want people to understand and hear, oh, it can look like that. Or, oh, God might say something like this. So here's what I heard. Kirk, you're doing a good job. The success of this particular teaching you to hear the Lord, the success of this isn't dependent upon your presentation. You're just introducing people to me. I'll take it from here. So celebrate, because I'm going to do it. And don't carry a burden that isn't yours. Because let me tell you, it takes a little bit of guts to stand up here and say, hey, you're going to hear God today. Okay? And then hand your card and say, let's go for it. And God is just saying, hey, you know, it's between me and them, Kirk. You just create the opportunity and step out of the way. Is there somebody else? I'm just showing you somebody over there. Chris, I'm gonna grab this. Can you do this, Ev?
You so often feel like you failed, not accomplished some hidden goal I had for you. You need to know that I find my pleasure in who you are and your love for me, not in what you do. You've chosen the good part. All else pales in comparison. Come away with me. Rest with and in me. The other stuff will come.
Wow, isn't that, man, I kind of wish God had said that to me. Oh, y'all didn't clap for me. Hold on, Olivia.
The reason I told you righteousness and joy is that because you are joy. I delight in the joy of your heart and your song. You are righteous. Christ's blood has made you so, and your pursuit of me exemplifies it.
Is Olivia just hearing ghosts? Is she just making that up? Is that just okay, positive self-talk? Well, she said, my blood has made you right. Boy, that's right out of, in him we have redemption through his blood. God just made it real to her. He said, I love to see your joy. You are joy. I mean, God says in Ezekiel, I have loved you with an, or Jeremiah, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Zephaniah, I delight over you with singing. He does find joy in Olivia, and he just made that real to her heart. Was there somebody over here? Yeah, Nanny.
I heard, trust me, let go of your fears. Give me the things that cause you stress and anger. Reflect my love to your family and oikos. I have a plan for you and your boys. Honor your wife, Michelle.
Wow. I'm just showing you kind of what's legal, what you might hear. Sometimes God just gives you a truth to embrace. You are joy. I love you beyond what you do. And sometimes he gives you something to do. Love your wife. Okay? It's not that man, he's not, but he's just saying, I want to impress that upon you. And sometimes he'll tell you to, he'll give you someone like to forgive. He may bring that to your mind. I'm just giving you examples so that you'll know and you'll be able to validate, that is the way that God speaks. Remember, go back to the screen before this. Two screens before with the ways that the Holy Spirit speaks. Remember, he always speaks consistent with Scripture. He always speaks consistent with his character. He's positive. And we can confirm it through his people. I want you to practice this week. On the CrossBridge app, if you'll click Bible study, there'll be 5 scriptures that form the basis of my message next week. You can study them and do this. Do exactly what we did today. Get yourself a $1.99 composition book or a leather-bound journal or whatever and read, write down what you observe about God and yourself, and then give him room to speak and agree with what he says using these parameters. You're going to grow. You're going to walk in the Spirit. You're going to walk in power and love, and all the fruit of the Spirit is going to emanate in your life in increasing measure. You're going to be a more loving person. I'm telling you, it's what he does. You're going to be a more patient person. You're going to be more gentle. You're even going to be more kind. You're going to be more joyful like Olivia heard. And you're going to be more faithful. You're going to follow him more closely and stay in step with him because he loves you, and that's what he's doing. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you're so generous to us. And like Brian McCleary said, you're not far away.